know this one. Do you want to guess it?
Spooky.
Yeah. Seagulls and your occasional ship horn.
Yeah.
Don't judge me on this, okay? I just always knew that I needed more. Hello and welcome to Colour Coded, the podcast where we talk about life, cultures and relationships.
Today's episode, I thought we would speak about how you ended up in London, actually, because obviously everyone knows how I came to London. So I think it's time for you to kind of give us your story. Share your story of coming from a small, tiny fishing village in Cornwall all the way to the big smoke in London. How did that happen?
Okay. So I think I need to start about why I moved to London. So
yeah,
if you guys have never been to Cornwall before, it is absolutely stunning. It is the most beautiful place and I highly, highly recommend that everybody visits it. It literally feels, especially on a sunny day, it feels like you're in the Mediterranean.
Stunning. Absolutely gorgeous.
You were shocked the first time you went there.
I've never been Cornwall. And when Alex first took me to Cornwall, I was shocked by, I'm like, this can't be in England. Yeah. It's actually ridiculous. Because when you think of beaches in England, I think of Pebbly, Brighton Beach or Clacton-on-Sea. That's all I hear about, you know? And then I go to Cornwall and it's completely different. The air feels fresh, beautiful beaches, actual sandy beaches as well.
So much greenery.
So much greenery, rolling hills everywhere. Stunning. But yeah.
Yeah. So this is my norm. This is my norm. So I didn't really appreciate it in the way that I do now because I was just so used to Cornwall. I'd grown up there. I'd lived there my whole life. So just having a beach on your doorstep was my normal. You know, even when I finished secondary school and our leavers day, we all went on the beach afterwards. Like, that was normal. Like, now when I look back, I'm like, that was really cool. We finished school and we all went to the beach. Like, how cool does that sound? But at the time, I just didn't realise. But throughout my whole kind of like teenage years and as I was going to college and I was studying, I just always knew that I needed more. And I couldn't ever put my finger on what exactly the more was. I just knew that I felt a kind of like a little bit trapped.
Boxed in a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit boxed in. And I don't know why I felt like that, but Cornwall is a very slow pace, as you know. Things close at 5, you can't really do anything in the evening. There's not much opportunity out there. It's quite limited with the offer that it's got there, apart from obviously relaxing, going to the beach, drinking coffee.
Yeah, if you're there for holiday, it's perfect.
Perfect.
But when you're like there, like living there, it's, again, the population is a lot more older people, I would say. Like
100%.
Lots of retirees, so the younger generation don't really have much there for them.
Honestly, you've hit the nail on the head. That is so true.
Yeah.
And there isn't anywhere to go. So say, for example, like when you're a teenager and you're with your friends, like in London, there are like youth clubs, there are parks, there are things to be doing all the time. Or even then you can go to the cinema. Obviously, there is a cinema in Cornwall, but there's not an option. Do you know what I mean? There's like one local cinema. It's very, very limited. Like the closest bowling alley was like 40 minutes away from where I lived. So you just don't have the activities that you have in London. So I always felt a little bit trapped. And when I was planning where I wanted to go to university, I knew immediately that my university would not be in Cornwall, to the dismay of my mother. She was really putting her hopes on me going to Falmouth University.
Somewhere close.
Which is in Cornwall, yeah. It's about 50 minutes drive from where my parents live. So they were really putting their hopes on, I would say, there. But I was like, no. So anyway, I applied for 5 different universities, I think you could apply for, all of them in so many different places. It was like Liverpool, Wales, London, Chichester. I can't remember where the other one was. Somewhere else. So they're literally dotted all over the UK.
So which one were you like hoping to kind of get into? Is it Liverpool, would you say, London, like the bigger cities?
Yeah. So Liverpool and London were my two main ones I wanted to go to just because of what they were offering on the course I was going on. So I was super keen to be in a city and just experience a different life.
And the course was gone. No, there's nothing wrong with it, by the way.
There's nothing wrong.
But it's just very different to what you've kind of fallen into now.
Yeah.
And you're succeeding and doing very well in.
Thank you.
So it's, let the listeners and viewers know what it is.
So I actually study dance.
Yeah.
Don't judge me on this, okay? I think dance
is amazing.
Is an okay degree to do. I can't even say good. And the reason being is I just think I have no issue with creative degrees. And I think if you go into a career, so for example, you study dance, like one of my good friends, Charlotte, who lives in Cornwall, she studied dance and she's gone on to make a career in dance. Perfect.
Amazing, yeah.
Perfect. But I went to university, studied dance, got a spinal injury, then realised this is not sustainable. Also, there are no jobs. I'm 5'2" and most jobs need to be 5'6". And I just realised I didn't want to work every evening and weekend.
Yeah.
So it literally was a terrible decision. However, I'm really glad that I did it because I met amazing friends. And I feel like had I not done dance, maybe I would have looked back and been like,
why?
What if?
What if, yeah.
Right?
And you don't want, that's the worst feeling to have.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. So then I obviously went on to study to be a teacher. But anyway, rewinding back to my decision making. So anyway, I've applied for my 5 universities all across the UK, and my mum, bless her, was doing some researching. And by researching, you already know this.
Yes. I know
she was researching something quite interesting.
Like every parent would, to be fair. Like, yeah. Obviously you're scared for your children to kind of fly the nest and go into big cities, you're automatically going to think of crime rates. And I know Janet well enough. In my head, I picture her literally sitting you down, spreadsheet open, or papers with all these crime figures. Is that what happened? Or
so she sat me down.
Yep.
Came home from college, sat me down, she said, Alex, I know you've got your different universities, but I've been looking at something. I was like, okay, Mamia, tell me. So she's looking at it and she's showing me, she's like, look, this is a crime rate for Chichester. This is a crime rate for London. And she's comparing all of the universities that I've applied to and comparing their crime rates. But within the crime rates, it also breaks down all the types of crime.
Oh, wow.
It's like crime rates of burglary. Stabbings, shootings, you know, you name it.
So if
car theft.
If you wasn't scared before leaving a small fishing village, you would be scared now.
Literally. Yeah. And if you look at the crime rates for Cornwall, they're like so low. They're so minute. So the contrast, huge.
Huge, yeah.
So anyway, from this, she then decided that she wanted me to go to Chichester University. Do you want to know why?
Go on.
The lowest crime rates.
Of course.
So my mum was really keen for me to go there, and I was like, no, mum, Chichester, beautiful, but it's too much like Cornwall. I just don't want it.
You wanted a change as well, and it's completely understandable.
Desperate for a change. So my stepdad, being the Cockney man that he is, was really encouraging me. He's from East London, and he was like, Alex, you need to go to London. You'll be fine. You've got a good head on you. Go.
And he kind of gave you that reassurance that you'd be fine.
He gave me that reassurance, yeah. And obviously my mum, a lot of reassurance that I would be fine. And obviously, thankfully, I've been here about 13 years now. Mm. So far, we're good.
Yeah.
Alhamdulillah, we're fine. We're good.
Yes.
But obviously, you can imagine my mum, that was really terrifying seeing that. And you see so much on news and media, even now, or even sometimes, if you live in London, side note, do not join the local Facebook groups. They will terrify you, the things that happen in the local neighbourhood. I saw a post the other day of somebody in the dead of night on their Ring doorbell. They saw them breaking into their car, all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, you'll get all the negative stuff in there because that's what they're looking to get advice on. But if you're new into the area, you'd think that's all that area kind of...
All that
happens in that area. So yeah, stay away from those. Unless you want to be informed of everything that happens in the area.
Like me. I don't know. I think it's like I'm getting older.
You love doing that.
I'm like, it's like modern day curtain twitcher, isn't it?
Yeah,
like,
yeah. It's actually the modern day curtain twitchers.
Yeah. Any local pets that go missing?
You know about it.
I know about it.
Yeah, she knows. She's always messaging me, WhatsApping me. If you see this cat, please call this number. All right, Alex, if I see the cat. Okay, I will. I do look around, but I never see a cat.
Anyway, we've gone off on a bit of a tangent then.
Bit of a tangent, but it happens.
So, we're coming up to London now. It's now, I think, September, October. We're coming up. The car is packed. So I've got my little Vauxhall Corsa, little grey one. I hated that car so much, but I also loved it.
Every uni student had a Corsa in their lifetime. I'm telling you now, I know so many people that had a Corsa.
It's affordable.
It's so good. In a little Vauxhall Corsa.
Little Vauxhall Corsa, packed to the brim, okay? Me and my sister is in that car. My mum and my stepdad are in another car, packed with stuff. It's probably literally tilting like this as we're going up the motorway, which, by the way, the drive is about 6 hours. It's not a small drive. It's a long way from Cornwall to London. So anyway, we're going up there, and as we're driving, I'm just seeing the houses getting bigger and dirtier and greyer. And I'm making that sound awful here, but This is reality.
But when you come from a small seaside village,
yeah,
you're going to notice these things as well.
100%. And that's it. Like, I'm used to driving along the seaside, beautiful windy little roads, country roads.
Yeah.
Like, this is my normal commute, is by the promenade. Like, that was my commute. And then I'm literally coming up to this massive, big kind of industrial place with like roads. I'm pretty certain it was quite a grey day as well, which does not help.
Doesn't help.
Like, there's not very much greenery, but like there is in Cornwall.
I was going to say, imagine that's how you're feeling, right? Imagine in the car how your mum was feeling, how Janet was feeling.
I know.
She must have been like literally just talking to, eating Bernard's ear off. Like, literally, 100%. Why did you convince her? This is not the right. But yeah, bless her.
We arrived and I just remember this kind of overwhelming sense of feeling, I don't know, not, I wouldn't say I was anxious. Obviously, there were anxieties attached to moving to a new place. No, my parents were leaving. But it was like these new smells, new sights, and just like, I don't know, it felt really different.
Yeah.
I don't know how to explain it, but I just knew it wasn't the same.
It wasn't home.
Yeah, it wasn't.
Yet.
Yeah, it definitely didn't feel like home. It felt really strange.
Felt very alien to you.
Felt so alien. And it's also just all that is so noisy as well. And I remember that first night where I went to bed and I laid in my halls, and obviously they're not decorated at this point, it's just kind of stuff everywhere. The first time really where I'd properly been away from my parents.
Oh, but so by this time they've gone home, right?
They've gone. And I just remember laying in bed, and the halls were on a main road as well. And I just remember hearing the sound of cars and horns and sirens. Mm. And I was like, this is so strange. Like, this is my new reality. I've gone from Cornwall, where it's a little bit of wind, the sea, seagulls, and your occasional ship horn.
It's so different, right?
Yeah. So I just remember feeling a bit empty that night and thinking, okay, have I made the right decision? This feels quite scary.
Lots of doubts.
Yeah. But I was really excited to just go and explore. Mm. Should I tell you one of my biggest shocks?
What was it?
Okay, so the next day, we've obviously met the people that are in your halls. If you haven't been to halls before, it's basically like, kind of, how do you explain it?
It's like a housing complex, but every unit is like a bedroom, possibly with an ensuite.
Yes, mine did have an ensuite, because I decided to go with that. Because there was
no way
I was going to share an ensuite, but it was a shared kitchen. Because they're literally a small little kitchen. There wasn't even a living room. So you literally had a kitchen, a table, and then six bedrooms. This was a setup of my hall, single bed, quite small, but it was cozy, and we did make it really nice. So anyway, met all of the people in the halls, and we decided to go out the next day. Anyway, we're leaving, and I say to the girls, oh, should we check the train times? Because they're like, okay, we're going to get a train. And I'm like, okay. Bearing in mind, I have never been on a tube before in my entire life, okay? Never been on a tube, have been on a train. But the trains in Cornwall, they probably run from Penzance, which is the furthest point in England, maybe every 45 minutes, if you're lucky. Probably once an hour, once every 2 hours. Wow. Buses, still.
Wow, yeah.
Still not very often. So I remember sitting to the girls, like, girls, we should check the train times. They're like, no, don't worry about it. And I'm thinking, are they crazy? We're going to be having to wait. We're all dressed up. We're going to have to wait at the train station for however long. Like, anyway, they were really insistent. Don't worry about it. So I was like, so confused. I'll just go along with it.
Just didn't make sense to you.
Did not make sense. I get to the tube station. We go down. We go through the gates. I obviously have never seen an Oyster card in my life, which is like a little card you can get if you don't live in London.
And this was... they were the only things that you could use back then.
Now you could
use your credit card or your debit card to kind of tap through.
But back then, all you could have was an Oyster card. So you have to go to the machine. You have to put your card in, buy it, and then you get this Oyster card and you top it up. So you'd have to keep topping up your Oyster card.
Yeah, it's like a little pay-as-you-go top-up card.
Anyway, so I get my Oyster card, I've topped it up, and then I'm going up to the barrier, and to get in, you have to tap in. So I'm like, oh, this is so overwhelming. Like, tap in, go down. I'm thinking, how long are we going to have to wait for this train? We go down to the bottom, and I see a sign, and it's literally like 2 minutes, 4 minutes.
Every six minutes.
I'm like, what is going on? And I just remember being in absolute shock that trains come every two to four minutes. I just was amazed by the fact you could just walk out your house, go down into the tube and just get anywhere across the whole of London within a couple of minutes. This was mind-blowing to me.
Yeah, and the thing is, we take it for granted. It's obviously, because we live in London, we take it for granted. What other things did you notice that was like shocking to you or surprising to you?
So many things. Obviously, the fact that you can get anywhere you want to get. You don't even have to plan your route. Mm. Like in Cornwall, you've got to plan your route. You've got to know when the buses are.
Yeah.
You've got to know where you're going. You've got to know how you can get back. That's a major thing in Cornwall. Because sometimes you can get places, but by the time you need to get back, there's no more buses or trains. In London, you don't have to worry about that. There's always a way of getting back. If it's not the tube, you can get a night bus.
Mm.
Amazing. So that was a culture shock. But I think the first place we probably went was Oxford Circus.
That's a massive shock to the system, I can imagine.
Massive shock to the system. So I remember getting on the tube, and the tube has a very distinct smell. I can't actually smell it anymore because I feel like I've just acclimatized to it. But I remember it has this really distinct kind of smell of like dust. The air's quite thick. It feels kind of like dark. I don't know. It just has a really distinct smell. So that for me was a bit of a shock. And then you come out into Oxford Circus, so many smells. The smells of people kind of cooking on the... They've got like the little kind of...
little stalls where they do the... Stalls. Is it where they do like the caramelised nuts and...
Yes.
Sometimes they do sausages and whatnot, like hot dogs. Sorry.
Exactly. And obviously there's so many different restaurants. You can smell those. So many different people. The languages.
That's what I was going to say. Like, how was that when you first saw the diversity? Because obviously Cornwall is quite whitewashed and there's a lot of white people there. Like,
yeah.
It's just how what the population is. But London is completely different. In the tube, you must have been like, wow... You're in amongst so many different cultures, so many different languages.
And so many different types of people, like the way they dress, the way they look, the way they style themselves. And I just remember hearing all of these different languages and just being so amazed by it. Because, like, you get this one place in England that just has so many different people from all over the world who have, like, different backgrounds, different homes. Like, it's so interesting to me. So that was a massive culture shock. And obviously seeing, you know... different people from different religions, like seeing people wearing hijabs. You don't get that in Cornwall.
Mm.
You know, a lot of Jewish people, when they're wearing their full Jewish attire, you don't see that in Cornwall. Mm. So all of those different things were so surprising for me. But also, I loved how people had individuality, which you definitely... I mean, I can't speak now, but you definitely wouldn't really see that in Cornwall. Everybody kind of dresses the same. You have the little local shops like New Look.
Mm.
Back then, shopping online wasn't like it is now as well. So our local little town would have like a New Look, a Peacocks.
Peacocks. I don't think there's that many around anymore.
No,
I've not seen
not many them. Around. Not many of those around. Shoe Zone.
Oh, my God. Shoe Zone. That's... Clark's.
These are the kind of shops that were around and everybody kind of used them. Again, internet shopping wasn't as much a thing. I think Littlewood's catalogue was the main thing that people would use.
I remember.
So you just didn't have access to that. But when you come to London, you have access to anything you want from all over the world. All these different clothes, different ways of styling. You know, you see like goths and they would just be walking proudly through London, not a care in the world. Whereas if you saw that in Cornwall, everybody would be staring.
Yeah. How did that make you feel, though? Did you, when you saw all the individuals, just, you know, everyone just kind of together, it's just a melting pot of different cultures, styles, religions, everyone just kind of going about their own business. How did that make you feel? Did that make you feel like, okay, cool, this is exactly what I've wanted? Was it exciting? Was it daunting? Was it like... Yeah, what were the feelings that you were having?
I absolutely loved it. You know, I am the least judgmental person.
Yeah.
I just, as long as you're a good person, you do you.
Yeah.
Like, genuinely, if you are happy and you are doing good for others, do you. So for me, just the fact that people felt confident and happy enough to be who they wanted to be, I just love that.
Love that.
I just love that. And it was just so exciting for me to see all these different people. And I think for a long time when I first moved to London, and probably the university I went to, the course I did, it didn't really have the same level of diversity that maybe you'd have on other courses. Mm. So I do feel like I didn't kind of meet as many people from different cultures until I was a little bit older. But yeah, I loved it. I just loved it.
What is it that you miss about Cornwall, being in London for so long now?
So I would say some of the things I really miss about Cornwall.
Mm.
I really miss waking up and just being able to go on a walk and go to the beach.
Mm.
That for me was one of my... I probably didn't even do it that much when I was there. But just knowing that you had access to that. Where I lived was right on a promenade.
Mm.
So you could just go on really lovely walks, go along there, take a stroll, really clear your head. I love that. So I really miss that. Obviously my family.
Of course.
That is really hard even now, living this far away from your family. You miss a lot of things and you don't have those same connections that you would when you lived kind of, you know, 30 minutes from each other. You could just drive to see them. I mean, granted, I do get to have that quality time with them when I go down, so it's not so bad. And I miss the friendliness.
Oh, yeah. Honestly, Cornwall have some of the smiliest, happiest people I've met. Everyone always gives you a nice smile.
They don't just smile. They say hello.
Yeah. Also, sorry. they do say hello as well.
Yeah.
Which was a very massive shock for me. I'm like, oh. Hi.
Yeah, and it's the same the other way around. When I came to London and I would see people and they wouldn't even smile at you, they wouldn't even make eye contact, they don't say hello. That was a shock for me.
Mm.
Whereas obviously now when I go back to Cornwall, I still get surprised when people talk to me.
Yeah, but you know what? It's the little things as well. It's like when you're driving and you let someone through, they're always going to wave,
say thank you.
And it's little things, but it's so nice when you kind of, it becomes a regular. And then whenever we come back from Cornwall, you come back to London and then everyone's literally with an angry face just driving past. They didn't know thank you.
All the thank yous like...
And then you feel so... I feel so hurt after coming back from Cornwall. I'm like, oh, Alex, they didn't even say thank you. What arsehole.
Literally, but that is... And then we become those people because you become impatient.
Yeah, it does happen.
It's just the nature of living in London and it's fast-paced. But yeah, that is definitely one thing that I miss, is just how friendly people are. And I genuinely think people will take an interest. Like, even if you go into a petrol station, you're paying for your petrol, people will have a chat with you, which that doesn't really happen in London.
Yeah.
I can't believe I haven't even spoken about this. Do you know, in Cornwall, there was no such thing as Nando's.
I don't know how you survived.
Nando's was everywhere. And I remember I'd watch, like, I don't know, films and stuff, or maybe not films, but like TV shows, and they talk about Nando's.
Or like YouTube and stuff. What is that? Yeah.
What even is Nando's? What is H&M? I'd never seen these stores before.
That's crazy.
I had never stepped into a Nando's, a H&M. We didn't even have a Primark. Like, there was nothing. So all of this was so new. I loved that I just had access to whatever I wanted. So that was definitely a huge one, was being able to just go anywhere, see anything. If you want to go and watch a show on a Friday night,
you can go.
You've got your pick of so many different shows. You want to do bowling, you want to do skills, you want to do something really obscure. You can do it. I also love that. I just love the opportunities and the kind of, you know, how many different things you could possibly do.
Yeah, like you don't even have to plan a night. Literally on the day you can be like, oh, you know, I feel like going out or going for a walk or just going for a meal. And then you have an endless amount of choices.
Yeah. But I think for me, my confidence really grew coming to London.
Yeah.
Because when you come from a small community like the village I came from in Cornwall, you definitely feel a little bit kind of... that you can't really explore things. Yeah, but you can't really explore things. You can't really, you know, try different outfits, try different things. You kind of have to fit with what's the norm.
Yeah, and is it like, I think you might have mentioned this before, also like everyone knows everyone. So everyone knows each other's business. And it's a little bit daunting to do anything different because you don't know if you're going to be judged or if people are going to be talking about you here and there.
Exactly. Whereas in London, you can just do whatever you want. So I definitely felt like without sounding too cliche, I felt like I found myself in London. I kind of learned who I was, and through that developed a lot of confidence and kind of being who I wanted to be. So yeah,
I think that's a really beautiful way to end that part.
Thank you.
So thank you, Alex.
Oh, hang on.
Oh, sorry.
Before we do finish.
Oh yeah, go on.
I have one little note. I'm just looking at my little cue card here. Slang.
Oh, yes. How I was going to say, what did you think of the British, the London slang when you first came? Like, was there any words that you were like, what the hell are they talking about? Or
slang does not exist in Cornwall. And if it does, it's probably trickled down and taken about 5 years to get there. So by the time...
Outdated.
It's outdated. So when I came to London, and this is a word which I think was still actually going out of fashion, really, butters.
Oh yeah, butters. That was all the range when I was in secondary school. So when you're in uni, yeah, I could.
So when I heard the word butters, which basically means like ugly, right?
Yeah,
it's actually not a very nice word. But yeah, so it means that, and I was just so shocked by that. So the London slang that took me a while to get used to, because I had to be like, what does that mean?
Yeah,
I don't understand.
And the funny thing is now, Alex hangs around with, obviously, around my family, my brothers, my friends as well. And we always kind of slip it into conversations or words and little phrases. And sometimes I'll be talking to Alex and she'll just slip in a slang. And now you have...
I actually use it quite a lot.
You use it a lot.
Do you know what? One of my colleagues, she pulled me up the other day, but she was like, Alex, you're spending too much time around AFSA. Because I use slang at work.
I love that.
At work, I use slang. It is not okay. This is all your fault, you know.
Well, listen, I'm diversifying your what's the word?
Language.
Your language, yeah. But it's good, though. It's good.
Can I tell you my favourite?
Go on.
Do you want to hear it?
Yeah, go on.
I think you know this one. Do you want to guess it?
Oh, hold on. Bookie.
Yeah!
You do use that quite a lot.
I use it so much. I love Bookie. Bookie basically means like a bit like
weird,
a bit weird, a bit off. Like it's not quite right.
You know what?
That person's acting bare bookie. So like bare means like a lot, basically.
Yeah, very bookie, basically. Very weird. So like, the other day she came in and she goes, "Oh, I just parked my car. There's someone hanging around the bins. They're acting bare bookie." And I looked at her. I'm like, "What? When did you start using these words?" I'm like, "Oh,
I just love it." That is 100% my favourite, Bookie. I think that brings us to the end,
doesn't
it?
Brings us to the end, finally.
That was my story of coming to London and what it was like coming from a small little fishing village to the big smoke.
It was honestly beautiful listening to that back. Obviously, I know lots of it already, but hearing it again, beautiful as always.
If you guys enjoyed this episode, please make sure you subscribe, like, follow, depending on what platform you're on. You can follow us on socials, CULRCODED, colour-coded. And we will see you in the next one.
See you in the next one.
Bye.